This episode of Market Talk is brought to you by Growmark FS. Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic grain and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
Bringing you the ag information you need. This is Market Talk, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
It was a rough day across the ag commodities on Monday. Welcome into Market Talk. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Appreciate you being here once again, making us part of your day today. As I mentioned, a rough day to start off the month of August, and we're going to talk about that here on the show. Coming up, we're going to have a conversation with John Heimberg of Total Farm Marketing, get his thoughts on the really bearish start to ag commodities for the month of August, despite a hot, dry forecast looming ahead of us here to start the month. We saw grains with a major sell-off, crude oil down sharply. Really, feeder cattle, the only market that fared somewhat well on the day on Monday's trade. As we look at things here to start the month, we're going to talk to John, get his thoughts on what's going on in the markets. Is there still some bullish upside potential? Well, we're going to ask that question. More coming up here in segment two and three on the show today. Also, speaking of that hot and dry forecast, we're going to talk to Dr. Steve Lerner with Christian Hansen. We're going to talk about heat stress in cattle and how probiotics can help out. Also just managing the heat stress in cattle and looking at various things to kind of help alleviate some of the stress there, as we've already seen some cattle deaths this summer when we had that first heat wave and now another one coming on, how you can be prepared. So we're going to talk about that coming up in segment four as well with Dr. Steve Lerner here today on Market Talk. Before we really get going with today's show, I also want to give a shout out and welcome in two new radio affiliates to the Market Talk family. You can now hear us each and every weekday on Super Talk 1270 in Bismarck, North Dakota. We thank them for joining the Market Talk family. Also, Redfield, South Dakota, KQ 1380 joining us here as well each and every weekday. So we definitely thank both stations for joining the Market Talk family as we continue to grow our listener base, and you can hear us again each and every weekday on those stations there in the Bismarck, North Dakota area and in Redfield, South Dakota. Well, as we take a look at the market trade on Monday to start the month again, it was a rough one. A lot of things in the markets that were kind of playing into the downturn, as we saw the first ship of grain leave a Ukrainian port to start the week, and that news has been widely expected now for some time, but still a lot of uncertainty surrounding the whole situation with the Russia-Ukraine war. But getting that first cargo moved out was a big first step. We're going to be watching this week to see how many more cargoes move, but that seemed to be one of the many reasons leading to a downturn in the markets to start the week. Crude oil also liquidating sharply. That was a big driver in the market move to the downside. And, you know, a lot of things to watch. All this on top of the hot and dry weather forecast ahead, which has been a bullish factor. But we could have maybe just seen a bit of profit taking with some of the updated forecasts and more. And maybe, you know, we didn't really get a lot of profit taking to wrap up the month of July. So it could be some delayed moves from funds kind of taking some profits here, squaring positions as we start a new month. We talked to Arlen Suderman, chief commodities economist at StoneX, during Monday's session to get his thoughts on what he was seeing in the market trade. And he talks first about the grain markets and some of the reasons why he's seeing the move to the downside in Monday's trade action. We also touch on the thoughts about the weather forecast moving forward being hot and dry, and look a little bit at the livestock protein sector as well. Again, here is Arlen Suderman of StoneX.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of perspective is necessary here. We're seeing a sell-off in many of the commodities. As you mentioned, crude oil has been off. The grain and oil seeds have been off hard, a number of the commodities. We had some very disappointing economic news out of China that came out overnight as far as their economy and particularly their manufacturing sector contracting. We're certainly seeing similar things in their property sector as well, which makes up about 20% of their economy. So some concerns there about demand for commodities back to that global recession trade, if you will. It's the first of the month repositioning. If you look at soybeans last week, and I'm going to go back about 6 days, November soybeans had the largest six-day rally we'd seen since 1973. So when you rally over 20 cents and you contract over 60 cents, that just seems to be the norm for the type of market environment we're in right now. Corn and wheat also coming under pressure. And of course, that story that we saw the first ship leave Odessa port in Ukraine, having been loaded with a small cargo of corn going for Lebanon. And the thinking that if this goes well, there's 16 other ships behind it ready to go out in a caravan. It just kind of gives them fundamental reason. But I don't think you can pin it on any one of those things. But I think the money flow was certainly negative for the commodities to start today and the other things added to it, and the algos piled on.
Do you think with the hot, dry weather forecast coming up, I know that's still got to be a story here, Arlen, but it seems like that's taking a back seat to start the week. But one has to wonder, if it verifies, what could that do for grains and oil seeds as a whole?
I think you're right to focus on the weather pattern, particularly for the western Midwest, west of the Mississippi River, the plains and western Midwest. We're going to see some crop-producing stress. I think the fund managers have trouble programming into their algos just what that the impact of that is going to be. The private production estimates that are expected to come out, starting with ours tomorrow and other private estimates over the next 10 days in USDA in August, reflect a good crop. It's not going to reflect this weather pattern that we have in August and the problems. Those are more localized. We have some of those somewhere every year. So I think the funds have trouble really wrapping their arms around that right now until they see a big sharp decline in crop ratings. And so they're focused on some of these other macro factors now after they regained ownership in the big rally last week.
And Arlen, real quick, in livestock, fairly mixed day there, it appears. I would assume the break in corn helping out feeder cattle here today, it looks like.
Certainly, that is increasing demand for the lightweight cattle to see those feed prices drop. And so cattle feeders taking advantage of that. When you look at live cattle futures, getting some support from that, but we've had some pretty good demand for product this summer. It was a disappointing spring for product demand. And been better than expected summer. And frankly, we're seeing the consumer still kind of hanging in there. In the spring, we felt like we saw the consumer coming down the value chain this summer. Okay, they're working their way back and seeing some of the demand come back in there. The hog complex, a little bit more mixed today. Seeing kind of looking for that seasonal weakness. When the number of hogs start to increase, when the carcass weights start to increase, not really seeing it yet, but the trade's starting to factor in some of those seasonal concerns and been a little bit more reluctant to continue with the same upward momentum today.
And again, that was comments on price action and market moves with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX, talking with him during Monday's trading session. Again, a big sell-off scene in the grains on Monday. We're going to talk more about that coming up next with John Heinberg of Total Farm Marketing. We'll be back with more market talk on the way right after this.
Bringing you the ag information you need. This is Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And joining us now to talk about Monday's market trade action. Again, a rough day to start the month of August with the soy complex seeing a lot of liquidation. We're joined by our good friend John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing. John, great to have you back on the show, sir. How are you?
Doing well. I'm doing well.
Appreciate the time and jumping right in, looking at Monday's market action. Rough way to come back for the month of August. You know, we thought that hot, dry forecast was going to be the big driver here, but a lot of other news items, it feels like, have kind of combined to uh, to give us a downtrend in the markets on Monday, led by that soy complex. It just feels like a combination of a lot of different things out there, John, isn't it?
Very much so. You know, again, we watch those weather models and they continue to keep the dryness in the forecast and maybe a little bit of moisture in the eastern belt, and a little potential for some moisture coming maybe on Wednesday. So we'll have to watch if that materializes. Still going to be pretty scattered, at least kind of like the stuff we saw last night. Then we throw in what's going on in the edible oil market with palm oil, the big drop in crude oil down $5 a barrel again today. And obviously the geopolitical things with, you know, Speaker of the House Pelosi possibly visiting Taiwan and those geopolitical tensions, and throwing some bad economic data from Europe as well as China. And you just had yourself set up for a pretty rough day today, especially in that energy market and those grain markets.
Let's talk about the China aspect of this, because I think that is probably the overriding thing that sent the funds to the selling today. Obviously, the economic news, worries out of China, worries about demand, the geopolitical situation with Pelosi going to Taiwan. As you look at things, you know, demand wise, demand hasn't been super strong the last few weeks. Although we have, you know, for the most part, we've sent out a lot of soybeans already, but. And we don't want to lose sight of that. But just looking at everything, there is considerable worry out there about Chinese demand, I think, moving forward, John.
You know, that's still just going to be the big old wet blanket over top of everything is here, is what is happening on that standpoint, you know, here, especially for the old crop side in terms of finishing out the marketing year with the last month ago here. Do we get those shipments out? Do we roll some more over? Do we see more cancellations? Export inspections today were pretty solid, 500,000 tons on beans. So kind of a number we kind of still need to see. But again, that is going to be a concerning point here is where we are on the demand. We know those new crop sales are the best basically since 2012. This is a window where we've seen the Chinese become a little bit more active, again, trying to secure both U.S. and Brazilian supplies. We've got the discount in the market to those other beans globally, so that kind of keeps the door open here. So, you know, that'll be something we'll really be watching, what happens with these export sales numbers. You know, can we get the rest of these beans shipped? We'll obviously see some more cancellations, some more rollover that could add to the carryout projections, you know, but it's still going to be a tight supply picture. We don't have anything dramatic happening here that's going to also add tons of beans to the pile. You know, so again, that after we maybe get through some of the political issues that we're kind of dealing with here, this market might focus back in. You know, we rallied solidly last week, $2 plus, and, you know, 70 cents doing it in one day is kind of brutal. You know, or 60 plus cents on the close. But I mean, you know, this felt like a very corrective type day. Now let's see what the crop ratings do this afternoon. Let's see if we continue to see those decline, even though seasonally we typically do go down in this window. But those forecasts are still out there. So, you know, I still think it's just a volatile market with a lot of pieces moving and between meal and oil, as well as what's going on in terms of those markets. You know, it's just going to really keep this bean market dancing.
Well, and obviously, you know, we saw, as you mentioned, a huge rally last week in the soy complex. Meal was up a lot. Oil had its days. You look at things now, and obviously the weather component is still out there. This hot, dry forecast for the Western Corn Belt, that's going to be a fundamental driver. If you start taking away some of the outside market factors, if we continue to stay hot and dry for much of the first part of August here through key pod fill time for beans, one has to wonder what this market could look like here 2 weeks, 3 weeks down the road, John.
You know, again, it gives us some potential. And, you know, beans are always made in August, seems to be the mentality. But sometimes the bean market doesn't quite react to the weather unless there's really something truly definite going on that we're seeing some type of issues. You know, if we come back and we pick up some rainfall the second half of August or going into September, we've seen that before, too. We've had decent finishing weather. We just add pounds onto that bean crop. You know, so there's just still a little bit more time probably yet in the soybean market at this time frame. Now, with that being said, that was a heck of a turn last week. And even the pullback today, we held $14 on November beans. You know, so that was a little encouraging to see. Like I said, now we'll see if the ratings and things come to play. You know, the managed money kind of moved themselves to the sidelines, holding onto their, you know, fairly small long position since the last couple of years. So again, they've got some room to push this thing back up if they get the right news. So we'll have to see. But again, just a lot of pieces moving around out there. And it just felt like today, because of the 1st of August, got that USDA report coming up here next week. You know, we probably won't see any major changes other than acreage because of the resurvey. you know, that this market just felt today that, you know, maybe we put a little too much on the bone last week and we needed to take a little bit off.
How about corn and wheat? Obviously feeling some of that spillover pressure from the soy complex, but I think in hindsight overall on Monday, you know, only down 9 to 10 on the close in corn. Wheat futures ended up being down, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 cents, 10 cents. I mean, for the most part, pretty decent day Monday in corn and wheat despite the heavy pressure in beans.
Yeah, they hung in there pretty well. You know, we held the summer corn around that $6 handle pretty much most of the day. We poked under it a little bit. You could just see some buyers step in there as well. You know, in that wheat market too, even with the headlines and getting some actual movement of some grain out of the Ukraine, even though, you know, again, it's very small on the global scale, but just the fact some grain is moving just added some selling pressure in. So we'll have to see how that plays out. You know, again, to me, it's still just going to be kind of more of a, the headlines now out there and we're past that point and the market will just adjust. You know, for me, it was still kind of watching what was going on in those outside markets, probably tied a little bit more to the corn and wheat markets today and just some of the selling pressure in grains in general. You know, again, we'll still continue to watch. We're kind of past that weather point in the terms of the calendar where the weather really makes an influence on the corn market. We got a little rich last week, saw some selling kick in. And right now, maybe we're just going to start building ourselves a bit of a sideways pattern. You know, in that wheat market there, that one, we just got a lot of pieces moving. You know, somebody's cranking wheat out somewhere globally. We'll need to see what happens with that. You know, again, do we continue to drive some business here with these lower prices? That'll be a big factor. Was kind of encouraging to see the dollar kind of break a little bit again today. Still very elevated, but obviously trending the right way now a little bit. That could help out this commodity space. So a little encouraged again by the, you know, the strength at the end of the day. Now we'll see what those crop ratings do. We'll see the progress on the harvest, you know, where those things are. And that, you know, if we can get a little bit boost back up into the upper end of this thing, holding $6 a day was a pretty big key.
Well, and you mentioned holding some ranges and maybe looking at a sideways range. I want to talk about that, maybe make a case for that. You mentioned November beans. We held that support around $14. Corn's holding around $6. Wheat, $8.50, $9 on spring wheat. Do you feel like those are our potential spots where we're going to have support for a decent amount of time? Would that be a floor? Would these be floors potentially to lock in at these levels if we think, you know, we have a lot of upside potential still possibly out there, John?
You know, these are spots I can possibly hold. I mean, obviously there's some chart characteristics underneath, especially in that corn market. We got a gap underneath us here that, you know, looks like an area that maybe we go target. And if crop ratings don't move a whole lot tonight, it wouldn't shock me that we get some more selling pressure into that. Or if crude oil continues its fall, you know, it looks like it's ready to go back and test that 90 handle before it maybe gets range bound. That's another $6 down from here. You know, that'll make it difficult for the grain sector in general too. So those things are still concerning. You know, I think it's an area though we can gravitate back to again, as long as we don't go in and put fresh new lows in here, that this market's maybe got a little bit of a short-term bottom. Now with that, we don't typically put July lows in. So that does leave me a little cautious going out into the end of the September window. You know, we'll see what we start getting for the, you know, on the USDA numbers. We'll see some of that demand. How much do we lose here in terms of the export side going into the next marketing year and gets rolled over? What's that do to the carryout? You know, so those things are all still going to be coming into play as we move into September. So I would use this window here, kind of like you said, yeah, there's $6. Maybe we find a way to defend that somehow. We get a little lift up, make sure you're building some puts. Don't forget that insurance guarantee is still 590 underneath. So there is some downside into that as well. You know, that maybe we got ourselves one more chance to get down to a fall low. But at the same time, you know, I still think there's a good chance though when we get these combines rolling later on this year, we might start to see some more of the ramifications of this weather and that prices could be firmer for us at harvest or later. So that's going to be a spot where if we go test that low that producers want to get some reownership back over top. Some of those bushels that maybe they felt like they didn't get priced where they wanted them to be.
And again, that's John Heimberg with Total Farm Marketing, our guest analyst here today on Market Talk. Coming up, we're going to talk more about cash basis for grains as well as the livestock market and dairy. We're going to get to all that more coming up next as we continue with more Market Talk on the way right after this.
Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS, you can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
Market information that matters to you on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to Market Talk here today. John Heimberg with Total Farm Marketing is our guest analyst. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Let's look at a few of Monday's closing market numbers here real quick. Corn for September down 9 1/4 at 607. December corn down 10 1/4, 609 at 3/4. August soybeans 42 at 3/4 lower, 1594 at 1/4. November beans down 62 1/2 at 1406. Bean meal for August down 8.30 a ton, 487. September down 12.70, 429.70. August bean oil down 237.6623. September down 241.6409. Over in the wheat market, September Chicago wheat down 7 1/2 at 8 1/4. December down 6 3/4, 819. September Kansas City wheat 8 lower, 866 1/2. December down 7 1/2, 874. Spring wheat Minneapolis, September 8 1/2 lower, 897 1/2. December down 8 1/4 at 910 1/4. Meantime, over in the livestock trade, again, a decent day in the cattle market. Live cattle August up 32, 136.77. October up 40 at 142.62. Feeder cattle for August up 107, 179.65. September up 155, 183.10. August hogs down 21, 20.45. And October hogs down 40, 96.82 on the day on Monday. Get the crude oil market under heavy pressure. Stocks fairly quiet as well. All right, let's get back to John Heimberg of Total Farm Marketing. He's our guest analyst today. Let's continue our conversation. John, let's talk a little bit about basis as well. Whether we're talking corn, beans, you name it, basis has held fairly strong even throughout all of these market moves on the futures trade. As you look at basis, I've heard some stories, some guys, you know, trying to push some basis numbers a little bit and getting some, you know, $1, $1.50, $2, even $3 over in some spots in rare cases, but. You look at basis, let's talk this cash market a little bit. What stands out to you as part of why we've held, and what would be some thoughts for producers here?
You know, it's also something that we need to be cautious of in this window because, you know, right now there's still some good demand, at least on the domestic side of things. Ethanol margins are there. And on the soybean side, obviously, the crush margin is there. So those end users in the soybean market, they're willing to pay up regardless of the price if they're turning profits. And with the move in soybean meal and the strength overall in oil, you know, there's still some good meat on the bone there for them. So that's one of the things that does stay supportive. You know, again, but we're still in a window here where producers are still sitting on some old crop supplies if they still have them, still making a decision whether they want to pull the trigger or not. If we get a little further down the road, there always hits that window where all of a sudden the end users say, hey, we're good. We get through to the new crop. And you see that basis start rolling over. So be cautious of that because that's going to be that next indicator that probably sends us to a new low. Or we get to that window where the producer says, all right, I need to get some room cleaned out here. Let's get these bushels moving and get them on the marketplace. So there's always that concern. We kind of see that sometimes usually around that first September, late August window that we kind of start seeing that cash market fall apart as we just move past the old crop. And now we start focusing on what's going to be coming in terms of those new crop bushels.
Let's move over to livestock, John. Not a bad day today in cattle. As expected, I think that feeder corn relationship, of course, still kind of showing itself there. Live cattle as well at the close. Decent day there today. Hogs were a little more mixed. Some of the deferreds had some green numbers. But overall, protein sector, maybe start with the cattle side. What are your thoughts there and as we get into the month of August?
Yeah, we still got some pretty good support in that cattle market, especially on the retail demand side of it. And that's just one of the things that's been a little bit surprising is the fact that consumers kind of hanging in there, even despite the recessionary fears. Now, it just doesn't feel like the market wants to go anywhere aggressively here because of that factor. Does that consumer shut off? You know, cash trade was softer last week, again, on 35, 36. You know, we'll see what we get this week as the week develops. You know, so that August contract's probably getting fairly well priced, at least in terms of where we are compared to cash markets. So we got to see where October is. Do we start getting those cattle numbers down? That's going to be the biggest focus, I think. Do we get some price lift there? So see some pretty good value right now, at least in that October contract. Probably a spot just because of the typical seasonal window. Normally we kind of peak out here around the 1st August and maybe get some softening. That maybe that October price might be a spot we want to make sure we get a floor underneath just in case we get some pullback, especially with the geopolitical concerns. And, you know, China's become a major buyer on the beef side as well as the pork side here. You know, seeing that market tighten up on for us would be not very good overall in terms of price. So I like where we're at. I still think the cattle numbers are still dictating that we can stay firm in here, but just staying a little bit cautious at least, maybe as we get through the next month or so. Feeder market, that looks strong. I mean, we saw that pullback in the corn market today, triple-digit move in those feeders. Feeders had a chance on Friday to kind of fall apart, and the sellers seemed to get kind of pushed to the sidelines as the buyers rejected those lows. And we got good follow-through today, again, led by the turn in the corn price. So right now, those feeder markets are looking strong again, especially with the fact that the numbers aren't there. Those cattle slaughter numbers continue to stay heavy. And that's just going to keep this cattle supply tight, especially as we move well into the next calf crop in 2023. And you can see that value already on the board with April cattle pushing 155 and plus today.
Good point to make. I think that with some of that tightening in cattle, even with some of the geopolitical factors, still plenty of upside potential to watch here. Hogs, you know, a little bit of a break on Monday. That August contract, though, I think it maybe needed a bit of a breather, even though it was a little bit. That thing has been on fire here as we've gone through the last couple of weeks. Got a couple more weeks left in it, John. As you look at this hog market, what stands out to you? Obviously, huge discount the October contract has to August right now.
Yeah, that's something I'm kind of scratching my head on right now. I'm trying to figure out what this market wants to do after this August contract comes off the books here. And, you know, we're seeing a cash market as well as a retail market that is still extremely strong. You look at the cash index today, up another 84 cents to 121, now running at a premium over that August contract. So that'll keep the buyers in play, at least in terms of those August futures. You know, those direct hog markets in the morning continue to show good strength. They'll throw some of the hot weather in there. That causes the packer to maybe bid up a little bit. Do we see the carcass weights hold in if the weather does become a factor? You know, keeping that product moving. And like I said, the retail demand side is still there. I mean, you're looking at a decent value on pork carcasses, the same value we were at last year about this time. So that keeps this market at least a little bit supported. But boy, you look at that gap, and now we're talking $23 from August to October. That's just a big jump, with especially a two-month spread. And now pushing today towards a contract high on that spread. Now, the prices did fade off it today, so maybe that's the second time in a row now we've kind of poked up around 23 and we've seen some tightening. So either that October contract is undervalued, needs to come up, or this cash market needs to start winding down a little bit here. But at least at this time frame, it doesn't seem like it wants to do that. Again, those deferred contracts need some strength out there overall. That's going to, just like the cattle market, tied to tighter numbers. And that's still going to be something I think is going to keep this market supported. But I'm really still looking at that difference between the August contract and those next couple of months, and just starting to feel like somebody here needs to get moving one way or another.
John, how about this dairy market? So let's get caught up there. Are we finding some support? Are we seeing more volatility? What are your thoughts in dairy?
Oh, we're finally getting a little footing around the $20 handle, but it's still kind of a little fleeting to me. I mean, obviously, we're seeing some production tighten up in this window here. But that cheese price continues to soften. You know, we did pop a little bit on Friday, got a little recovery at the end of the week, giving half that back or so today on the block price. You know, we got blocks at 184, barrels at 180 and 188. You know, price is still around $20 on the milk. Still looks like there's some room to go. If we break through this $20 barrier, now we've been consolidating at it here for basically about 2 weeks, kind of makes me a little nervous that there's some more downside potential in there. So, you know, producers probably want to make sure you're protecting that spot frame, at least in the next couple of months here, just, you know, holding on to good value, because, again, these markets are in that chart is in a bit of a downturn. And if the demand is not there, that's really what it's about, is the demand is actually, you know, slowed down, even with the tighter production, that we're getting some cheese supplies built up. Food service demand has also been disappointing in here. Just kind of shows that maybe there's some things going on the retail side that could continue to weigh on prices. So, again, holding makes me feel optimistic that we got a price level we did hold, but right now, to me, it's still looking very, very cautious, and like we're still on a bit of a slippery slope if these prices were to break.
Well, John, great stuff. As always, I know we touched on crude oil a little bit. Outside markets, relatively quiet here. We've had a lot of economic news the last couple of weeks. But as you take a stock of everything, what are your thoughts here as we get into the month of August? Anything else you want to mention or reiterate for our listeners today?
You know, keep an eye on that equity market and that crude oil market. Typically, August, September are not very good months for equity markets. So do we have that historical downside possibility in front of us? So that could be there. You know, obviously, we're going to be watching every bit of economic data that's coming out. Are we in a recession or not? That's the big argument going on at this time frame. You know, what happens with the job market? You're starting to hear a little bit more about some layoffs out there. Does that, you know, at this time frame, strong job market, according to the Fed and Chairman Powell, start weakening, and that could even add more pressure. So, you know, recession is still something that's in front of us. And if we do see that value come out of those markets, how does that play in the commodities in the short term will be a big key. You know, again, still something that keeps me cautious. So if there's still good value there, those puts aren't expensive. Just at least make sure you got some type of safety valve under all of these markets.
John, if producers need some advice, want to navigate the markets with you there at Total Farm Marketing, I know it's very easy to do that. How can they get a hold of you?
Sure, love to chat with them anytime. Give me a call, 800-334-9779. Shoot me an email at johnh@totalfarmmarketing.com. And again, don't forget about our website, totalfarmmarketing.com. Again, like I always say, a lot of great information that's out there for producers to go take advantage of.
And again, that website, totalfarmmarketing.com. With that, John Heimberg, appreciate the time. As always, thanks for joining us today, sir. Have a good one. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. See you next week.
And again, that is John Heimberg with Total Farm Marketing, our guest today here on Market Talk. Coming up next, we're going to have a conversation about cattle stress with Dr. Steve Lerter of Christian Hansen. That's on the way right after this. We're back with more Market Talk right after the break.
Keeping you informed with the latest market information for your operation. This is Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And joining us now, he is the Senior Scientific and Business Advisor with Christian Hansen. Dr. Steve Lerter is with us again on the program. And Steve, always a pleasure, sir. Great to have you back on the show. How are you?
Thank you, Jesse. Very happy to be here. I'm quite fine.
Well, Steve, we got an important topic to talk about. You know, all the heat that we've seen across parts of the country, especially across feedlot country here this summer, it's been something to watch. It's done a number on many operations as well. I just can't think of how many cattle operations have been stressed and how many cattle we've lost due to some of this heat stress across the plains here this summer, Steve.
Yes, sir. When you have the sum of many horrible conditions, over 100 degrees in temperature, very little shade to be found, and then the breeze stops blowing in Kansas and Texas, unheard of conditions. You have animals that are fermenting nutrients in a fermentation vat we call a rumen. They're generating heat, and then they have a black coat. And that some animals cannot survive those conditions is so unfortunate, but a reality of the perfect storm of problems.
Well, and it's not just cattle too. It's other animals, so poultry, hogs, you name it. But specifically on the cattle side, you know, we think about hot to cold to hot, or staying aggressively hot. It's hard for these animals to really manage and regulate their body temperatures when they're under all that heat stress, isn't it, Steve?
Absolutely. And as good stewards of animals, those that are actively looking after their care and well-being and their welfare, it is incumbent of all good managers to do absolutely everything they can to prevent animals from unnecessarily suffering in those times of transition during stress. This is what they do every day, all day. And some of the things that will help them get that done, reducing the stress of the animals in their care, is good management, good feed and clean water, and then supplements that can improve the capacity of animals to get what they need from their feed to defend themselves against stressors.
Well, you said something very interesting to me before we went on the air. It's not as if you can go to a open feedlot in Kansas and build a giant shade over top of it. It's just not possible. So you have to look at other ways to manage things and help try to set up your animals to deal with the heat stress. And I know one thing that comes back to, Steve, is probiotics and good gut health to help them manage, you know, everything that they're dealing with and regulate their body temperatures, etc. So talk a little bit about good gut health and probiotics for our cattle and how that can help during times of heat stress and other issues as well.
Well, Jesse, I love that you can read my mind given the time we've spent together, but absolutely the use of something like effective probiotics that really do four things in an animal. They improve the animal's capacity to digest nutrients out of their feed. They improve the animal's capacity to absorb those nutrients into their body. And then they can affect the barrier function and immune functions of the gut. But absorption of the nutrients is really critical when it comes to dealing with stress. There's a beautiful resource allocation model of life that says nutrients come into the body, and then based on genetics of the animal, they are partitioned to what the animal needs. Some goes to maintenance, some goes to defense, other goes to growth and the production of things like meat, milk, and eggs. This is what the allocation model dictates. So when animals are in times of stress, the more nutrients they can get out of their feed for use in their bodies, then they're able to allocate more of that to cooling off, to defending themselves against a metabolic stress that may occur during times of high heat. And the better the animals are prepared to do that, the more likely they can resist the impact of those stressors in their lives. So every animal, every day, whether it's a lot of beef cattle or a herd of dairy cattle, a flow of pigs, a flock of chickens, a rafter of turkeys, a group of dogs, those animals should be on something that gets more nutrients out of their feed into their body. And one of those somethings is effective probiotics.
Well, we think as well with probiotics, Steve, you know, they're natural. It's something that, as you've alluded to, can just add to what we're already feeding them to try and get the most out of the feed, especially as well, you know, with times of high feed prices, I'm sure producers want to make sure that feed goes a little bit farther. But of course, just, you know, the fact that things are, the probiotics are natural, as you've mentioned, you know, effective probiotics, that's really a key as well.
And when you think about sustainable agriculture and this whole idea that now we're looking at life cycle analyses from the inception of the product till its final use and disposal, does the product support sustainability? Is there good circularity? It returns, comes from nature, goes back to nature, if you will. And with the exception of the packaging we put probiotics in, they are perfectly circular. They come out of nature. We grow them up naturally. We feed them to the animal. When they're put back out of the animal, they return to nature. It is a completely sustainable concept with a minor thing of the packaging. but in truth, these are the kind of natural solutions that we look for because we want agriculture to be sustainable, but also efficient. And the more efficiently that you can have nutrients absorbed, and now let's talk a little bit of chemistry. Nutrients are made up of carbon and hydrogen and oxygen and some nitrogen. And the more carbon and hydrogen and oxygen you keep in the animal, the less of that goes back out into the environment as methane and CO2 and nitrogen-containing waste into the ground. So if you can keep more nutrients in the animal by feeding effective probiotics, then you can actually reduce the amount of pollutants that go back out into the environment.
Well, we appreciate the time and insights as always with that senior scientific and business advisor with Christian Hansen, Dr. Steve Lerter. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Jesse.
That's all the time we have for Market Talk. Have a fantastic rest of your day. I'm Jesse Allen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.